Let's bow down. Let's go to God in prayer. God, our Father. God, our Father. You made us. You made us. You love us. And you invited us to be in the community with you, Jesus, our righteous Savior. You rescued us. You made us holy. And you enabled us to be the community, your community, community of God, community of Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, you inspired these words of Scripture. You guide the word of the message, and you transform us. Triune God, thank you for your word to us. May it deepen our faith, comfort us, and challenge us so that we may grow in our love for you and each other. Lord, help my brothers and sisters, your children today, to go beyond me, Lord. If they would just focus on how I say what I say, I know that will not help. But if they go beyond me and perk their ear to listen to you, open their eyes and look into your eyes, I know that they will have life. Lord, help them. Help them and help me. Hear our prayer. In the name of Jesus, through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and you will have power. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. We are focusing on Jerusalem today. Peter heals a blind beggar, and he speaks to the onlookers. And he literally preaches his second sermon here. So, brothers and sisters, we have started a sermon series, The Acts of the Apostle, and today is our first week and first message. Peter healing a blind beggar with John in front of a gate called Beautiful. As you know, I always like to start a message from a little story, and today I want to talk to us about a story of a man who was left to die. Where? On his way down to the base camp that happened in Mount Everest, around Mount Everest. Somewhere between the second base camp and the third base camp, the man was left to die. Yes, the expedition about climbing the Mount Everest started in 1953. Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay, they climbed Mount Everest, 29,000 foot peak, they climbed. Yes, until then, climbing Mount Everest was not allowed. Yes, Nepal's government started. Nepal, that's where I am originally from. The climbing of the legendary Mount Everest was started, 1953. By 2006, over 2,700 people climbed. By this time, over 5,000. Yes, people pay a large sum of money as much as $60,000 for one climb, not to include all the gears and the Sherpas and, you know, the food and everything you need. So there was a guy from Ohio, and his name was David Sharp. He was only a 34-year-old engineer. He ran out of oxygen. Yeah, on his way back down. As he lay down, 40 climbers passed him by, too eager to achieve their own goals, to take a chance on offering their oxygen to him. David Sharp, he was from Ohio. He froze to death. This is what the attitude people have. It's not my problem. I've spent all this money. I am going to the summit. That was the attitude. But you know what? The first guy who ever started, Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay from Nepal, the Sherpa. Sir Edmund Hillary said, on my expedition, there was no way you would have left a man under a rock to die. Just a few months ago, this past winter, there were people out there in this city. Three of them were left to die out in the street. It's not my problem. I've spent all this money. I'm going to the summit. What is our summit? We know. Our summit, our ultimate summit, our Mount Everest is the new heavens, whose maker and builder is God himself. And Jesus, our Lord himself, is the greatest missionary ever, descended down from the heavens, seeking and saving which is lost. Brothers and sisters, brotherly love, compassion, caring, servanthood, healing, and then apologetics, sharing the good news, the evangelism, that is the last one. And then the discipleship to follow later. The kind of ministry Peter and John were leading was a holistic one. All-rounded type of team ministry of the two, the ministry of two. He sent two, amen? Wherever two and more gather, there I am, saith the Lord. Amid many problems and opportunities, they never forget the main thing. The sharing of the gospel, who God is, and what he has done in Christ. They never forget to share that. They gave God all the glory. And the apostles, the sent ones, instructed people how to respond to Christ in obedience. Amen? So, a team of less than two is being alone. Could a one-man army make a difference? To take care of the whole homelessness situation in the city of Farmington? I do not think so. We need many people together working to solve this big homelessness situation in our city. If one person starts the ministry, let's suppose he or she does, meeting needs for each and every homeless is not going to be helpful. It's not going to happen. The person utterly becomes unfruitful because the people are many and the needs are great. One person cannot help. What if the person gets tired and exhausted, run out of funds, and no friends to help? Sooner or later, this person will be discouraged. And then, what happens when there is no one to come alongside and encourage for this person? The person starts feeling cold, lonely. The warmth of affirmation and encouragement is needed. What if it would be a place where persecuted Christians are persecuted? What if this person desires to go be a missionary to somewhere Christians are not favored or liked? He may be attacked. She may be attacked. Then this one person is going to be overpowered, brothers and sisters. Therefore, there is a value of having a team of two. And there is a wisdom associated with it. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. They can be greater fruitful. Greater fruitfulness is there when two people are together. If one falls down, his friend can help him. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? The warmth of affirmation in times of need is very important. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. This is the wisdom. So let's start with the team ministry of Peter and John, the team of two. The lame man healed, we know. The lame man, the beggar, begging, manhandling was healed. Chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. Yeah, the story begins this particular day. That was one of the daily visits of the apostles. Verse 3, Christians there back then made it to the temple around 3 p.m. And there was a prayer time, particularly at 3 p.m., the third prayer time. Jew people prayed three times. How many times do we pray? We can pray any time, right? But they were specific about praying at 9, 12, and 3. So it's not uncommon back then, especially you go to Nepal, even among Hindu temples, there are people begging when they have desperate needs. And they panhandle there. Verse 2, a man crippled from birth was begging at the temple gate, we know. The gate is called Beautiful. Following his plea for money, Peter looks straight at him. And John did too. Here, Peter and John were working on their regular habits of walking around in pairs. And yes, they were a team of two. So verse 6, there is something peculiar happened there. What did Peter say? He looked into his eyes. Looked into his eyes. Let's go back to our practical life, right? How many of us like to look into the eyes. When you go to Walmart and pull out from the parking lot, and right there you see someone panhandling. Do you look? Do you look? Do you acknowledge, do we like to acknowledge this person's situation? A beggar's humanity. Do we stare in horror and disgust? Or do we look with interest, attention, compassion? You look. If you intentionally look into the eyes, you will see. When you see, then you know. When you know and know the needs, and you start thinking, when you think, then you have feelings. When you have feelings, then you go to your knees and you ask, pray. Then God's Spirit is going to prompt you and you act. When you act, when we act, then the person benefits. When the person benefits, then the person says, thank you. Then we say, don't give me thanks. Give God the thanks. Amen? So here is what happens. Very quickly. That's what happens here. The act of healing happened. Verses 12 through 16 was the explanation. What was the explanation? Verses 12 through 16. When Peter saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. Yes. You disowned holy and righteous one and asked that murder be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witness of this. Yes. Why do you stare at us? As if we have power. As if we can do this. No. When he looked into the eye of the beggar, he saw the need. Peter saw the need. And you know what he said? Silver and gold have I not. What I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. Amen? He saw the need. He looked and he saw the need. Then, when men wanted to be amazed, staring, looking as if they are the ones who did it, he says, not us, God. Amen? Not us, God. There is the explanation. And there is an accusation too. Verses 14 and 15, he says, you disowned holy and righteous one. You killed the author of life. There is an accusation. And verse 13, and here is the exposition. There he explains more, especially verse 18. Look at that. Here it says, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Yes. And then verse 17, look what he says. He says,
Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. Look, he's trying to reconcile. And verse 19 and 22, look at this. And he appeals them. He says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And then, if they repent, here is the promise, 24 and 26. Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days, and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all people on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you, to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. And he said, God sent Christ so you can turn from your wicked ways. Did you see that, brothers and sisters? It all started from looking into the eyes and seeing the need and taking care of that need with the power of God in them. It all started looking into eyes. So when we see the need of our brothers and sisters, are we going to look or are we not going to look? Are we going to stare with disgust or are we going to have attention and compassion of Christ? Look at the roof. Look at the printer. Look at each other and pray. Silver and gold have I not. What I have, I give you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand up and walk. What is the problem we're facing today as brothers and sisters? What are we seeing? Are we willing to look into the eyes? Yes. Yes, Peter does have his speech, and there is a negative side. He even accused. Yes. He was also showing the Christ too. And he was talking about the personal relationship with God. And he was showing how important it is. Brothers and sisters, in the many problems and opportunities of our lives and ministries, let us learn something from Peter's sermon. We never forget what is the most important, especially explaining who God is and what God has done in Christ. But how are we going to explain it when we're not even willing to look into the eyes? Pay attention, asking God to help us to see the right thing. It's important. We should respond in obedience. That's my point. So people usually come within the sound of the gospel. Yes. When we share the good news, they will come. When they hear about the power of God, they will come. They know Christianity is true. They know Christ is true. Yes, they know. As we share it, they're also looking at us. Are we the people who preach but do not practice? Are we acting like hypocrites? They know. They know Christ. But are we living? Are we obeying? Are we living our faith? Are we obeying Christ? That's the point. Peter and John exhibited spiritual power when they commanded the crippled man to walk. They were clearly in touch with God's power. Well, they were the disciples.
They hung out with Jesus. Yes, they have the Holy Spirit. We can have all the excuse. But we do have a Holy Spirit too. Amen? Isn't the same God from yesterday, today, and forever? He's also in us. Then why is not there any difference we can make? We cannot make. We are not making because we do not have this eye contact. We need to have eye contact. We need to ask God to help us have that eye contact with one another. Let's have eye contact. When we have eye contact, we see. Amen. We see. When we see, we know. When we pray, God will speak to our heart. When we seriously pray, we do. Then when we know, we see, then God's Spirit prompts us to do something. And when we do it, the person who is receiving is going to be blessed. Not by us, by God himself. Amen. And when they thank God, we can deflect that. Say, not me, God. God did it. The glory belongs to God alone, amen? That's what Peter and John did. Man, why are you staring? It's Jesus who did it. So let's be serious about that, amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Lord, this is your word, and you spoke through your word to us. We praise you. King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory to you forever and ever. To Jesus Christ, our Lord, who loved us and freed us from our sins by his blood, by your blood, and you made us to be a kingdom, priest of your God. Father, our Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. O Lord, our God, you have given us the glorious gospel of our risen Savior and Master. Grant that we joyfully receive the good news for ourselves, that we may not leave a fellow brother, sister, or neighbor die under the rock. Lord, empower us, guide us, show us, help us to love one another. Help us to gratefully share your good news with others. O Lord, by your grace alone, we are who we are. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was raised from the dead. And all God's people said, amen.